blessed.
Amen.
The rain has fallen. We're in John, the 8th chapter. Chapter 8, right at verse number 12. John 8 and 12, and we're going to finish the 8th chapter tonight. It's going to be a long reading, but a short lesson. Amen.
John 8:12.
We thank God for the sunshine. We thank God for the rain. Amen.
Amen.
Because most of the day today was sunshiny bright, and then the rain came. And so into each life, some rain must fall. Amen. And so we just thank God because, you know, again, the rain has restorative purposes. It continues. It cooled off the earth and certainly the heat that we were experiencing. The rain came and provided us some relief. And so it also reminds us of how God washes away those things that are sinful, those things that are those things that are not pleasing. And so the rain washed those things away as he washes those things from our lives. Amen. And so last week we talked about the woman who was caught in adultery, and we do recognize that it is so easy for individuals to point the finger at somebody else. It's so easy for us to point the finger at someone else, and it's also easier for us to engage in assassination of other people's character. It's easy for us to engage in the assassination of other people's self-worth, and it is also easy for us to engage literally in the assassination of other people, amen, to the extent that the Jews wanted to stone this lady because it was in their custom that based on catching her in the act, that she deserved, according to their law, to be stoned. Note in the scripture from last week that this woman was a minority. She represented a minority perspective, amen. Because all of these individuals who were pushing for the stoning, they were men. They pulled her up out of the bed of adultery and presented Jesus with this particular situation to see how he was going to rule based on the laws of Moses. We learned on last week that he simply wrote in the sand. And as Jesus stooped and wrote in the sand, we learned that through the reading of Scripture that one by one, whatsoever he was scribbling in the dirt, these individuals started putting their stones down. And finally, Jesus looked up and asked the woman, "Where are your accusers?" This becomes a lesson to us because all of us will be accused of something. Some things we are deserving of whatever they're accusing us of. And then we must be reminded, even if we're deserving, that the grace of God is still available to each one of us. We learn from the events that happened and the tragedy that happened at Emmanuel Church that the young man who did it absolutely did do it. But we heard in the bond court hearing immediately that there were members from the family. Nadine Collier was one of the first ones to get up, and then subsequently some others. And they said what? "We forgive you." Yes, they did say that immediately, to the extent that it captured the attention of the entire world. God's grace is sufficient. It's available to all of us. So there are some things that all of us will do that we deserve exactly what we get.
Amen.
My grandma used to tell me, if you play with fire, you will get burned. But do you think I believe that? She kept telling me, you keep making your head hard. One of these days, you will feel it. And guess what? One of these days, I did feel it. But the mercies of God, and this is what I would like to, you know, talk about just for about 2 minutes. The mercies of God was almost like, have you ever seen individuals who were like in London, you know, they have this fire, or sometimes they have individuals who are trapped in buildings, tall buildings, and they tell them, jump out of the building. And they have the fire department and or the rescuers, they have these mattresses, or have you ever seen these tarmac plane incidences where they couldn't put the steps that go up to the door of the plane, but they have these things that look like inflatable mattresses or whatever the case is, and they tell people, jump! And the people don't want to jump out because they are so afraid, but if they jump, look, they got a cushion waiting outside right for them if they trust them enough to do it. The grace of God is just like that. Although we may be trapped and it may seem as though there is no way out, the Holy Spirit provides a way of escape. And if we jump into the mercies and grace of God, He always has a soft landing waiting for each one of us. And so Jesus looked up and said to the lady, "Where are your accusers?" Yeah, surely there were those there who did indeed accuse her, and they did indeed catch her in the very act of adultery. But I bet you one thing, when Jesus told that woman, go and your sins be forgiven, look here, she'd never got crawled back in that bed anymore. Sometimes you make your bed, you have to lie in it. But she learned from that, and she experienced grace, a grace that changed her life, changed her direction, put her on a whole different road to the extent that she became a witness of what God can do in your life. Amen. Amen. And so tonight we're going to talk about Jesus, and He proclaims and still proclaims that He is the light of the world. Amen. Let us pray. Open our minds, O God, that we may receive your word. Let us eat it like we eat food, so that the word may then mature in us and become what we need substantively to make us better people in this world. Let us be guided by something greater than ourselves, and not just other worldly principles, but let us be grounded and guided by the Word of God. If we follow its precepts, we will be the children that you've called us to be in this season. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, John, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse number 12, and we're going to go all the way, Brother Kithcart, we're going to go all the way to verse number 59. Amen.
Okay. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I hear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." So Jesus said, "Will he kill himself because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" And he said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is truth, and I speak of the world those things which I heard from him. They said they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I said it, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I said to you, whoever commits sin is a share of sin. And a slave does not abide in the home in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I believe, eat what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin, and I will tell the truth? Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Mm-hmm. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word.
Lips, right?
Amen.
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 After the darkness, what did we see?
Light.
We saw the light. Amen. I don't care how long we perceived the darkness to last, but as soon as God's kairotic cosmic timing for the moon to pass in front of the sun came, immediately the light pierced in the midst of darkness. How many of you have ever been in a dark room?
Amen.
I don't care how dark the room is. At some point, if you look intently enough out of a crack or a crevice, you will see what? The light. There could be complete utter darkness in the room unless you are in some sort of sealed, constricted area whereby they have already tested it, engineer upstairs, to the extent that there shall be no light. But if you are just in a regular room, like in this church, et cetera, and it could be midnight, it could be dark beyond the extent that you are stumbling around groping in the dark. But if you fix your eyes enough, light will shine from somewhere. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The light always overcomes the darkness. So when Jesus says, I am, he started right at verse number 12. After he freed and delivered the woman who was caught in the midst of adultery, told her to go her way, go in peace and sin no more. He immediately turned to those men who had set this woman up and began saying to them that I am the light of the world. Why is it that those who are in the most darkness refuse to see the light? Now we sing the song, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. I'm so happy, I'm so free. Praise the Lord. And then we go right back into darkness doing the same old things again. So you must not have seen it really the first time. And so it is, my brothers and my sister, brothers and my sisters. What is it that causes individuals to resist the light? Some people like darkness. Talk about that, Sister Crawford, because we're living in a time that I declare folk must love darkness. Give me some examples. Why do you say that?
So much is happening with them.
Like what?
Killing people, stabbing them. I just pray every day, God, get them out of the darkness, show them light.
When I was living in Pawleys Island, there was this gang that started rising up at one point. And the gang, to be initiated in it, and these were black children, but to be initiated in the gang, the end was you had to kill somebody. This is Brother Stalin Rouse just walked in. Yeah.
Amen.
We're in John chapter 8, verse 12. Yeah, he and I have been talking about Bible study, so thank God he's in Bible study tonight. Amen. He's my little prayer partner, you know. And so, to get in the gang, you had to kill somebody. Random. I mean, it was not somebody you hated or somebody had particularly that did something to you. And do you know what these individuals would start doing? They would start preying on individuals that would, you know, in Georgetown, there was not much in Georgetown, you know. You had to go to Myrtle Beach or whatever if you want a big city type environment. So in Georgetown, the only thing that was really there is like Walmart, you know, that is open 24 hours where everybody goes and you want to, you know, go and really take advantage of shopping or whatever it is, socialization. People go to Walmart. So sometimes I went to Walmart to get nothing. I just went to push my buggy up and down the aisle to see who I could run into in Georgetown. Don't have nothing else to do, you know. In Charleston, y'all got plenty to do. Y'all don't have to do that. And so I would leave Walmart, didn't have nothing. I'd be in there for 2 and 3 hours just talking, amen, and socializing and gathering along with everybody else, amen. But part of it was that they had to kill somebody. And what they would do, they would target individuals at Walmart. And so they would kill them right there in Walmart, meaning in the parking lot. and then, you know, wait until they put their groceries in their trunk. They would murder them, or shoot them, or whatever the case is, stuff them in the trunk, and then, you know, and they had to literally drive those cars off and prove to these people, and then they got tears or whatever. They got tattoos of how many people they killed. They get another tear, or they got something, some kind of tattoo for that. And so that is darkness, because I told my son, let me catch you out there. Because if you have a family structure and a family system that loves you and teaches you and nurtures you and continues to remind you of who and whose you are, not only do you belong to God, but you belong to folk who love you, so you don't have to be beat into a gang, or you don't have to kill somebody or take somebody's life to be accepted in something, because you are already a part of something. And the something that you're a part of is a family. And so young people that could be a viable example, they are so blinded by the darkness of that level of evil that they cannot understand that the light that God provides for them becomes freedom in a society that enables them to love everybody, and they can live in peace and never do that kind of thing. Give me some additional examples of people who just love darkness. ISIS. So we learned that ISIS emerged out of the vacuum of what was going on in Afghanistan and whatever, the Taliban, etc. And so now you have these individuals who are willing to do any by any means necessary in order to take out what they perceive to be influences from the West that have changed the way of life that they were so used to by demanding that people have democratic opportunities in their country. They are so rooted in evil that they are willing to strap bombs to their bodies, fly planes into buildings, and take out as many people as they can. You take that one out, they got somebody else raised up in their pathway, ready to take their spot. So in verse number 12, Brother Rouse, Jesus says this to the Pharisees and Sadducees, I am the light of the world. He then says to them in that same verse, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I don't know if you've ever experienced the light of God and walking in the light. During Christmas time seems to be the only time we sing about walking in the light. It's a beautiful light. Shine all around me by day and by night. Jesus is what? The light of the world. And so this is why individuals like decking the halls with boughs of holly, because they love seeing the lights and the twinkling and those type things that represent. But if we are not following him, those things are temporary, aren't they? Yes. Those things don't satisfy us in a spiritual way forever, do they? No. And so Jesus says, those who follow me shall not walk in darkness. Because I follow Jesus Christ and his teachings, I don't have to be dragged into a life of sin and darkness. Because I follow him, I am able to pattern myself after him, and I'm able to walk like him and talk like him and live a life that lines up to the life that he exemplified as he walked this earth. I'm able to love you even if you hate me. I'm able to bless you, even if you cursed me. Yes. I'm able to pray for you,
yes.
Mary Pinkney, I'm talking about you. Even if you despitefully, I can watch her on camera now. We got the cameras. And so I could be at Robo Hospital. I could be watching her right on the cameras, you see? I can see everything that's going on at the church. And then I call in, Mary Pinkney, you're not doing your work. So I could watch her on camera. And so I can pray for you even if you despitefully use me. And so when we follow the light of God, we can make a conscious choice. Touch somebody and say, we can make a conscious choice not to walk in darkness. Because if you allow the darkness to overtake you, then you're in a bad way. Yeah, because darkness causes you to do what? Hate. Darkness causes you to do what?
Sin.
Darkness causes you to do what?
Lie.
Lie. Kill. not love yourself, steal. Darkness causes us to do things that are destructive, either to ourselves or to other people. Amen. And so Jesus says, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. Regardless, they could put a sign on your head saying what you used to be. They could post up on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram all of these things that they claim you, but if you follow Jesus, you shall not walk in darkness, but you will walk in life. Amen. In the light. Jesus says to the Pharisees and Sadducees that if we follow him, we will walk in the light. There's a hymn, number 221, that says something this way: how to reach the masses, those of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And I, meaning Jesus, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people unto me. He said, all the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words that he said. I'll draw all people unto me. And then I love verse number 3. He said, don't exalt the preacher. Yeah, see, that free me up right there. Don't exalt the pew. Then he said to the preacher, preach the gospel simple, full and free.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't be all esoteric. Simple, full and free. Then all will gladly follow him. Who once taught, I'll draw all men unto me. Then verse number 4 says, lift him up by living. As a Christian, or let the world and you, the Savior, see. Then all will gladly follow him who once taught, I'll draw all people unto me. Then he said, lift him up. Lift him up. Still he does what? Speak from eternity. And I, Jesus, if I be lifted up, I will from the earth, I will draw all people unto me. So if we lift him up, that becomes a dangerous proposition. Because those who are in darkness will be affected, because you cannot come in contact with the Savior and remain the same. Oh, hallelujah. The woman who was caught in the act of adultery, if you were to put her on the witness stand, she will say, they were about to stone me, but I came and they brought me to Jesus. And instead of allowing them to follow what they claim to be the law of Moses, he then saved me by writing something in the sand. And one by one, they began to drop their stone, and he asked me the question, woman, where are your accusers? And what? There were no one left. And he says, neither do I. See, sometimes we have to give people permission to be forgiven of their sins. Amen. You're not the only one who did something, and you won't be the last one. But thanks be to God, when I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more, then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me.
Now safe
am I. It's love. It's his love that lifts us. And so Jesus says that if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. Don't you want to live? Don't you want to live? If you dwell in darkness, have you ever watched Ghosts? The movie Ghosts is an old movie. Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, Ghosts. Y'all remember that movie? And in Ghosts, people don't remember it. Whoopi Goldberg is in that movie Ghosts. Remember Patrick Swayze, they were shaping something, you know, on a potter's wheel. And every time an individual who was bad, well, if somebody was good and following the light of God, if they died and something happened to them, then all of these angels were dispatched to come and get them, and they lifted them into the light of heaven, and the music played, and they were lifted up into a glorious, heavenly angelic place. But the evil people, that's the ones I want to talk about right now. The ones who were mean. I'm not talking about you, Mary Pinkney, what you're looking at me so much for. The ones who were mean and cantankerous and who dwelt in dark things. When they died, these little things started coming up out of the ground. They were dark and they were scary and they were, you didn't know what they were. And they pulled them down into an abyss of darkness. And they were screaming and weeping and scratching because they didn't want to go. When we walk in darkness, we live in death. When we walk in the light, we intend to live. Amen. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees really sort of, as we would say, jump bad with Jesus. Like, who do you think you are? Talking about you are the light of the world and you are able to give individuals light. Did you come to bear witness of yourself? And Jesus told them plainly, yes, I can bear witness of myself because I know who I am. And so the point that I would like to make to us, we must know who we are at all costs, in all ways. See, for me to celebrate who I am doesn't take nothing away from you. I was listening to the news report, you know, from these individuals. They were so mad with the principal at Stratford School. Because the lady, now she was telling the absolute truth. Don't crucify me. So the principal of Stratford School, apparently high school, they were doing the back to school talk about dress, the dress code. And she was talking to the young ladies, and she said, do not wear leggings to school. And so y'all know what leggings are. They're almost like pantyhose, et cetera, that people wear out, you know, as regular clothes. And she said, and some students must have asked her, well, why can't we wear, you know, these very indignant young people, you know, why we can't wear leggings? We wear it anywhere else we want to wear it. Well, she says, it's not appropriate for you to wear to school. And then she said, well, unless you're a size 0 or a size 2. And she said, if you're more than a size 2, then you're fat. So we don't disparage individuals. We don't. I just say that just, but it happened yesterday. You know, it was in the news this morning. But we don't say that to disparage individuals, but we say that to when you have self-love. And when I say self-love, I don't mean, you know, to the extent that, you know, you are so disgusting that you're so high up, but that you're above God and above everything else in the created order. But when you love yourself, look here, nobody can tell you. Maya Angelou said it this way, that she's a phenomenal woman. Even if her nose were broad, even if her hips were wide, even if her lips were thick, regardless of her African ancestry, she was still what? A phenomenal woman. And we would be made to feel, especially when I was growing up, to feel very unfortunate if you were black. People were changing their nose, changing their skin color back then. Yo, what y'all were bleaching your skins with?
No.
Noxzema. Noxzema or whatever. People were trying to bleach their skin to the extent that Michael Jackson, y'all remember, he made the full transformation. And so we must come to a place where we know who we are.
That's right.
And be confident in that. I am a child of God. I am somebody. I am important. If nobody else values my life, look here, I am worth living. If no one will miss me if I die, look here, I'm going to miss being alive. So I'm going to live and not die.
Amen.
We have to know who we are. I might be poor. Look at Celie in the color purple. You see what I'm saying? See, after Mr. had already, you know, took all her letters from Nellie and took all of her money out of it and put it in a box underneath the plank in the floor, etc. And she finally found those things and she broke away and she was free and she began to look at Mr. at the table. She said, "I may be poor, I may be black, and I may be ugly, but I'm still here." We have to come to a place that we celebrate the fact that we are still here. And because we're alive and God has given us life, we can live it abundantly. I may be poor, but I'm rich. I'm rich in spirit. I may be sick in my body, but I'm strong in my spirit. I may be pressed on every side with whatever is going on in my life based on situations, but I am confident that at some point God is going to bring me out. We must know who we are. And then look at this discourse he has in verse number 23. He says, and Jesus said to them, and you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Verse number 8, chapter 8, verse number 23. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus did not play with them. You have to recognize when you are not dealing with somebody who is on the same level that you're on. You're not better than anybody. But if you're operating in a spiritual way and somebody else is operating in a very carnal fashion, you will never convince them of the new life that you have embraced for yourself. If they are living, and even if you're not looking at it from a spiritual perspective, to the extent that you are devoting yourself to a life of betterment and embracing those things that are the precepts and principles of God, but even if you have decided for yourself that I am not going to, how Michelle Obama said it, when they go low, we go high. Just as easy as that. If you are down here in the gutter and in the muck and mire of life, look here, I don't have to be down there with you. I can remain up on a high plane without getting down in the weeds. If you talk about my mom, well, if you talk about my mama, I might have, I don't know. But there are some folk who will hit you below the belt. And when they hit you below the belt, then we feel sometimes that we got to go down there too. Amen. If you attack me, I have to attack you. And these things become very personal. And they become very disparaging. But Jesus told them that I am not even of this world. He said, now you're not of this world, but if you knew me, you would not even be approaching me like this. I've asked this question so many times, and I'll ask it again. Have you ever encountered somebody that you didn't know them, but then you knew them? Because you started talking to them, and based on their spirit and their conversation, they connected with you because they were talking your kind of talk. Oh, yes. They were positive and uplifting. They had an optimistic outlook on life. They began to, and when you started talking about God and you start talking about your faith and you start talking about your connection with Christ, you became energized and excited because you recognized that even though you didn't know one another from Adam, you knew each other in God. Jesus told them, you are from beneath. I am from above. So we have to recognize that we're dealing with, and I don't want to be so super spiritual. Remember when Jacob was, he had sent his wife and children ahead, and he got sleepy and tired. I preached this a few weeks ago, and he decided that he was going to go to sleep, and he took a stone and laid his head down. And when he laid his head down, he looked up, and he saw a ladder. And from that ladder, he saw angels ascending and descending from the ladder. And Jacob then recognized that, these creatures are not from this world. And he said what he was going to do, he was going to grab hold of one of them. He said, the next time I see one come close enough to me, I'm going to grab hold of one of them. And he grabbed that angel and he said, I refuse to let you go. And the angel said, you got to let me go because the day is breaking. And they wrestled and they wrestled and they wrestled. And he said, Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me.
Yeah, you gotta bless me.
And he said, okay, I got to bless you because you done wrestled with me all night long. And so from time to time, when we recognize that we are operating in a higher spiritual plane, we have to fight to stay there. Because if we do not allow ourselves to go higher, you will find yourself coming down lower. Have you ever come to that place where you felt like, man, 2 months ago I was much better off spiritually than I am today? And then you start looking around at who you're hanging out with, and then your friends start mirroring the same level you now find yourself on, because they don't want nothing, and they don't want you to want nothing. Amen. And so we have to be very mindful spiritually of where we are. Now look at verse number 29. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me." Remember, He had already taught them in the synagogue. He was the same individual that had them spellbound, teaching and preaching the Word of God. And now they were questioning His very sonship of God. Then He said to them in verse number 31, to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There is no truer statement, because regardless of some of the lies that, and we see this nationally, I mean, there are individuals who are in our government and who are in our world, they will get up on national television and lie. Did you see the speech just last night or yesterday?
Yes,
and the gentleman took out, he said, "This is what I read." And he read all this stuff. But he didn't say that. Then they showed the camera on the split screen. They said, "Well, this is what he's reading, but this is what he actually said." And in real time, folk are fact-checking this stuff, saying that this is an out-and-out lie. See, it used to be, you know, a time in the past that you had to, you know, kind of catch people in a lie. Look at it, tell you a bold-faced lie now. And then you'll know that they're lying. And when we know that individuals are lying, instead of us then, you know, coming to a place of saying that I am not going to allow that to get in my spirit so that I would even accept that to be true, because that will not set me free. That continues the hate-filled language and rhetoric, and that continues to fuel these individuals who continue to divide this country. But when you know the truth, yeah, it'll set you free.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It'll set you free.
Yes, it will.
And you will be free indeed. Jesus told those Jews, He said, "Now there are some of you in here that know you believe, who came to Him by night." Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus had to sneak to Jesus.
Yes,
because he heard Him preaching the word. He heard Him ministering the word. And he was a part of the group that was opposing Jesus. But when he saw the miracles that Jesus was performing, it was so convincing that Nicodemus wanted to have some of that, but he didn't want his boys that he was traveling with to, oh no, he couldn't let them see him during the day. But see, I'm telling you, what you do in the dark will come out in the light. Amen. Good and bad. Praise God. And so Nicodemus went to Jesus at night, and Jesus said, "You must be what? Born again." He didn't play with Nicodemus. He said, "You got to be born again." And he had Nicodemus so convinced. Nicodemus said, "Well, how? Shall I go into my mother's womb?" And say, "You don't have to do that. Let me tell you exactly what you need to do to be born again." And he told Nicodemus exactly what he had to do, and Nicodemus believed Him and got new life. And sometimes when we are transformed, then we slip back to individuals who don't believe the same way we believe. You can't be on this side of the fence and on that side of the fence. My good friend Clemente Pinckney, who got murdered in the church, you know, he had friends who weren't my friends. It hurt him so, because he wanted them to be my friends. I said, "Pinckney, that person is a crook. First of all, I don't see how they're your friends." And I was trying to convince him. I said, "There's no way. I mean, I just don't see how you hang out with that. That is a scoundrel." And I said, "Every time you bring them around me, they give me the creeps. And so I don't want to have nothing." But he was trying to always, because he just couldn't. He said, "Middleton, you got it. You can't." He was trying to make them my friends. I said, "Pinckney, let me tell you one thing. The best thing you could do you keep them over here, and you keep me over here. Because the minute you bring them to me, I'm going to tell them exactly who they are and what they are. And every time, look here, we would go to lunch, and he would bring these people to have them invited, and I didn't know anything about it. I would get up and walk out. Yes, I did, because they were not going to give me indigestion, because I couldn't even digest my food the right way, listening to the pack of lies that these people were, you know, feeding. And so when we come to the place that we recognize that we are in the presence of individuals that continue to drag us down, you got to get away from those people. You're not better than them. But when you find yourself incompatible, then you got to get some, you have to be in a place where you can receive the deliverance and the breakthrough that God has for you. And then the last two things that I would like to talk about when Jesus tells them that they are of their father. Look at verse number 44. I love Jesus. Let's look at the last part of verse number 43. He says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words, because you are of your father, the devil." Yeah, some of us don't believe in the devil. Some of us don't believe in hell. But there are some individuals, they are full of the devil. Have you ever met anybody like that? My granddaddy, Mike, I love him. I didn't say he was full of the devil. My grandmother's husband. We would come home, and granddaddy Mike, he had gout real bad to the extent that he was all crippled up and twisted and contorted and whatever. I didn't say my grandma's husband, so don't you go back and tell my mama. And so granddaddy Mike would just be sitting in that chair. And we would all be having a good time, because he would be sitting off by himself, and we would be in another room, you know, but we could see him, you know, these houses are designed, so we could still. And I said, "Well, what on earth is granddaddy?" I said, "Grandmama." And he would be sitting there, look like it would just disturb. The more we laugh, it would just disturb him. And I said to my grandma, I said, "Well, what is granddaddy Mike doing?" She said, "He's right in there studying evil." And sure enough, it wouldn't take 10 or 15 or 20 more minutes. He would do something that would out the whole shebang. Amen. He just couldn't, unless he was drunk. Uh-huh. Now, if he was drunk, we would be having a good time all the time.
Yeah, we're happy.
But if he was not drunk, look here, he was going to find some way to shut it all the way down. Because if he couldn't be the party, then we weren't going to have no party.
My.
Amen. And there are some people who are just like that. If they cannot be the individuals who control the situation, or if they cannot be the individual who then arranges and manipulates what the fun time is going to be, look at, they are going to be a thorn in your side.
Oh,
yes. Yes, they will.
That's right.
And then we wonder, how does the devil get in? Mm. We bring the devil in with us.
Yes, we do.
And when we say the devil, we don't mean somebody with a pitchfork and horns. Evil ways. How did the devil get in Charlottesville?
Mm.
Yeah, that was nothing but the devil.
Okay.
Amen. You can call them the KKK. You can call them white supremacists. You can call them the alt-right. You can call them whatever. But anybody who would fill a bottle with urine and throw it at somebody else, that's nothing but the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Amen lights.
Yeah.
Because goodwill people just wouldn't do that. Dry long soul. No. And so we have to come to a place where we recognize that there are some people who are just filled with the devil. And Jesus says it in verse number 44. You are of your father, the devil. Because you're evil, you're mean, you're nasty, you're inconsiderate, you're hateful, you're spiteful, you're envious, you're jealous all the time, nothing nobody could ever do to satisfy you, you're of the, and so we have to move away from that kind of thought. You can be delivered, but you have to want to be delivered. Amen. And then the last thing Jesus says in verse number 58, turn to verse number 58, they were talking about Abraham and Abraham being associated with Jesus, and Jesus trying to remind them that even Abraham had a little sneak peek of me, because I revealed myself to Abraham way back, you know, during the time. And they said, "Well, how on earth could you reveal yourself to Abraham and you're not even 50 years old?" He was just 30-something years old at that time, because remember, they killed him at 33. And so they said, "Well, first of all, Abraham is, I mean, he is the father of our faith, and Abraham predates you." But Jesus says, I am. And see, they understood I am. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because when Moses went to Pharaoh, Moses asked God, whom shall I tell Pharaoh sent me? And God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, I am sent me. And so here Jesus says the very same thing that before Abram was, I am. Amen. Yeah, he is. Whatever we need him to be, that's what he is. He's a healer if we need healing. He's a way maker if we need a way maker. He's a burden bearer, a heavy load. He is everything we need him to be. He's a deliverer. He's a miracle worker. And he told the Pharisees and Sadducees, I am. And as soon as he said that, that inflamed them. Now remember, before verse number 12, they had dropped their stone.
Oh, yes, they did.
They had done pick it back up. By verse number 59, look at what it says. Then they took up stones to throw at him. Look at the next verse. What does it say? Read it together. But Jesus hid himself. Let's stop there. That's why we ought to be so careful. Because sometimes he's right here in our midst. You got to be so careful how you treat people, because you don't know which one could really truly be Jesus. Amen. The drunk on the street, the individual who is homeless and who may not necessarily smell or dress the way we dress, those individuals can be filled with the personhood of Jesus, and based on how we treat them is how we treat what? Him. He hid himself. I love Jesus. He hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus, remember when Thomas and the disciples were in the room? The door was closed, and the disciples had seen the Lord after he was crucified, you know? And Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas, said, I will not believe. I don't care what you say. He said, y'all can tell me all you want. You've seen the Lord. And they were saying, Thomas, but we did. He was here. He visited with us. Mary Magdalene said, I was walking on the road of Emmaus, and he called me by my name three times. Uh-huh. Thomas said, I shall not believe it. Uh-huh. He said, unless I put my finger in the nail print and take my entire hand and thrust it in his side, I will not believe. And right then, Jesus walked through the wall of the closed door of the room, walked through the wall, and appeared to Thomas in the midst of the disciples. And he said, Thomas, just for you, because you would not believe, I came back so that you can put your finger in the nail print. Go on, put your finger in the nail print. And he said, I want you to take your whole fist and thrust, because I don't want you to be. The thing I love about Jesus so much is that he does not want any of us to be lost. He said, I want you to put your whole fist in my side that you might believe. And he said, if this is what it takes for you to believe, I want you to have all of that. But he said, blessed be those that didn't have to see, but yet they still believe. Jesus hid himself in plain sight. Have you ever seen a wallflower? James Comey said he tried to hide himself in the room amidst the blue curtain. Remember? I quit. I quit, but he was still called out. You remember? He was still called out. He couldn't hide himself. But sometimes we can be in plain sight and we can hide ourselves, our pain. We do it well. Make up our face, fix our hair, put on a glamorous outfit, but yet we're still hurting. Mm-hmm. Smiling. Individuals ask us, how you doing, sugar lump? Oh, I'm doing good. Ooh, girl, I'm doing too good. You're not doing good, not one bit. We hide. Paul Laurence Dunbar said it this way, we wear the mask. And so we only present to individuals the face on the outside that we want them to see. But look at what John and Peter and John did when they were going in the gate called Beautiful. When they encountered the man at the gate, everybody said this man had been at the gate for so long that he was a fixture. He was a professional beggar. He was a fixture at the gate for 30 some odd years. That individuals, they had come to the place that they knew he was there. It was like a toll booth. They wouldn't even look at him. They would just throw money at him.
Yes.
Because they knew that he was there, what? Doing what? Begging. But one day, somebody say one day.
One day.
And I'm going to preach after you say that.
One
but one day. Peter and John were passing by, and instead of throwing money after the man, Peter said, silver and gold, look, you begging me for money. I don't have no money, but such as I do have, I'm going to give it to you today. Rise up from this place. He said, he looked him in the eye. See, sometimes that's why you got to look beyond the outward appearance of individuals. Look them in their eyes.
Oh, yes, definitely.
He says, I know you're telling me you're all right, but I could see.
Yeah.
That there's something on the inside
right.
That's quite not right.
Yeah.
And he says, such that we're going to give this to you today. Mm-hmm. And they picked him up right there at the gate, and they healed him. And the Bible said he went running, leaping, jumping, and praising God in the temple. And when he was in the temple, somebody said, well, wait a minute here. Isn't that the man who was sitting at the gate called Beautiful? And he said, yeah, I was sitting at the gate, lame in my condition. But Peter and John came by the power of Jesus. See, they used the power that Jesus had left them with. And they picked me up, turned me around. And he had been running from that day and never stopped running. Hallelujah. I am the light of the world. No more darkness, no more night. I'm so happy, I'm so free. Praise the Lord. I did see the light. It's a choice not to walk in darkness. The darkness can overcome us if we're not careful. But when we walk in the light of God, it's a beautiful light. Shines all around us by day and by night. And so we continue to pray that we embrace the fact that he is the light. Every day is not going to be like Sunday. If darkness overshadows your life today. And he said it this way, the sun will come out tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
We're ready to go. Any prayer requests or praise reports for the good of the order, and then we're ready.
Our Father and our God, we come. Father, we give you the thanks and the praise for each and every little blessing that you have bestowed upon us. And Father, we thank you just for being you. Father, we thank you for being I am.
Yes.
Father, bless us this day. Bless our homes, our families, our loved ones. Father, be with us all. Guide, direct us, and keep us, protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger, as only you can. And Father, give us that which we stand in need of. Bless us with a special blessing. Heal us with a special healing. And Father, fill our hearts with your spirit. And Father, give us your love and your peace. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, ever bless us. Yes. keep us, direct us, and help us to know that you are God, and beside you there is no other. Father, bless us this day and keep us. And Father, we pray for safe traveling mercy to our homes. Yes. Father, bless us and keep us. Father, bless our pastor that has given us the word this evening. Father, we give him the thanks. We give you the thanks for sending him. And bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 and amen.